It was 2 years overdue, but the 2013 federal farm bill is making a steady course toward President Obama's desk. The House passed the bill on Wednesday. It now goes to the full Senate, which is expected to take action as early as today. The bill cuts spending by nearly $1 trillion over the next decade. It's a historic piece of legislation in that it eliminates direct annual subsidies to farmers, which have been a mainstay of the agriculture industry for decades. The bill also imposes a 1% cut on food stamps, which analysts say could worsen the plight of millions of Americans living in poverty. We have two guests joining us today to talk about the new farm bill. Alan Garner is the District 5 Director for the Michigan Farm Bureau, and that district covers five mid-Michigan counties. Alan, welcome.
Thank you, Mark.
And also with us by phone, Justin Rumenap, who is a spokesman with the Center for Civil Justice in Flint. Justin, welcome to Current State.
Glad to be here, Mark.
Alan, the centerpiece of this bill, as we said, is the elimination of direct subsidies to farmers. This has been in place since the 1920s, and it was designed to keep commodities prices stable. That's now being replaced with this expanded risk management system, a huge policy shift. Can you help us understand this change?
Sure. Well, Mark, prior to 1996, any financial assistance that production agriculture enjoyed was tied to our production on a bushel per bushel basis. And the United States belongs to the World Trade Organization, and they kind of monitor how various industries are supported by local and federal governments. And they determined that that could be trade distorting. So in a way around that, in 1996, that farm bill did start, in fact, the direct payments that weren't tied to any sort of production requirements. It was just a check in the mail, if you will.
Mm.
And quite frankly, production agriculture is kind of uncomfortable with that. For obvious reasons, we found ourselves in the worst-case scenario that we anticipated the last few years, and in the sense that our industry was very profitable, and yet we were receiving these checks in our mailbox. So agriculture is very supportive of this new course, this new direction.
The people you represent are generally okay with this transition.
Absolutely. That's what we lobbied for, quite frankly.
Instead of subsidies, the bill strengthens crop insurance. This is the risk management part of the equation that's designed to help farmers share in the cost of disaster relief. What benefits will that bring to Michigan farmers?
Well, we need a safety net, even though we don't feel like we can be out there totally without some protection, because obviously production agriculture is pretty unique in the sense that we deal with the weather. So we can do everything quite perfectly in terms of marketing, use of the latest technology, and yet we still can find ourselves in a pretty miserable situation in terms of profitability from time to time. So this is a wonderful new plan in the sense that it's a public-private partnership. You know, we become responsible for premiums for our insurance policies, and we have an opportunity to determine how much risk we want to take by having the ability to take different levels of protection through those policies. And so I believe it makes us all much more engaged and more responsible.
So for the layperson, if I were to try to summarize what you're saying, would it be accurate to say that guaranteed annual payments are being cut in lieu of crop insurance when it is necessary? Is that it in a nutshell?
Guaranteed annual payments are not just being cut, they're being totally
eliminated.
Yes, I just wanted to be clear about that.
In lieu of the risk management.
Yes, and certainly we've had an opportunity to participate in crop insurance programs for a number of years now, but those products have been enhanced to the point that they make a lot more sense now, and they certainly provide the type of safety net that I believe the industry needs to have.
Justin Rumenap, let's talk with Justin here about the cuts to food stamps. These total about $8 billion over a decade, far below what House Republicans wanted to cut, which was about $40 billion. Is this a continuation of the cuts to food stamps we saw back in November, or is this on top of that?
This is on top of that. The cuts from November were cuts to pre-recession levels. There was a little bit of bump to the benefits to the SNAP program, which is better known as food stamps. SNAP stands for Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. The November cuts were about $11 per person per month for those who are on the SNAP benefits or the bridge card here in Michigan. These are in addition to that. So the Novembers were cutting it back to pre-recession levels. These are on top of that.
Mm. What concerns do you have for food stamp recipients in Michigan who will be getting less?
Yes, food stamp recipients in Michigan are going to be hit especially hard because it can be up to $90 per household, per month, depending on a variety of factors. And there's up to 651,000 households that could be affected by these changes, the decrease, the $8.6 billion you mentioned just a moment ago.
In recent years, Justin, what pattern have you seen, I beg your pardon, in terms of the need for this SNAP assistance? Has that been going up? Has it been stable? Has it been going down? What?
Here in Michigan, the need for food assistance has been pretty steady and unfortunately remains at fairly high levels. As we mentioned, there was already cuts in November on these additional cuts that are coming. As not only our families, you know, $90 a month is a week's worth of groceries for some families, but it's also they're turning to the food banks, local churches, food pantries, and those places are already strained as well. So Michigan is still struggling to come out of the economic recessions, as I'm sure you and many of your listeners know, and as we're still struggling to raise the employment rate in the state, the need is still pretty steady, unfortunately, for food assistance.
One concern is a change in the so-called Heat and Eat program. Michigan's one of 15 states that offers both heating and food assistance to low-income families as one package. How will this new measure affect Heat and Eat?
Yeah, that's where the $90 I mentioned for the 651,000 households that are eligible for the Heat and Eat could see up to the $90 per month change. Basically, how that works is under current rules, anytime you get the assistance for heating credits, you're automatically eligible for an increase in the food assistance. Under the new rules, I believe you have to get $20 or greater per month in the heating assistance to have additional SNAP funding or food stamp funding kick in. So that's the concern there is that might be too high, and I don't have exact numbers of households that will meet are above or below the 20, but there are 651,000 households that are getting, under current rules, the additional heat and eat credits.
Let's return to Alan Garner and talk a little bit about the changes in risk management as opposed to the direct payments. Alan, less than 2 years ago, Michigan fruit growers, apple growers in particular, as I recall, were just hammered by a premature hot spell in March, which ended up wiping out a lot of the crop. Was that incident factored into this legislation, how would the new arrangement impact fruit growers who are caught in those circumstances?
Well, prior to that emergency situation, actually, there were ongoing efforts to create new insurance products for fruit and vegetable growers. It's been an ongoing project, and there's been a lot of support from the government as well as private industry in those efforts. So in this farm bill, we're very fortunate to have had Senator Stabenow, of course, here from Michigan, to be the Senate Ag Chairperson. And she did an exemplary job in providing some additional assistance to make sure that those efforts would continue to be ongoing, that these folks would have better protection for their disaster concerns in the future.
But do any of those, the farmers who are especially vulnerable, I mean, as I imagine, Michigan fruit growers must feel with such a recent memory of a disaster, are they confident about this new bill in that they're covered?
I don't know that they are totally covered. Some of their products are. Some it's still an ongoing process to develop the appropriate insurance product so that it's actuarially sound and makes sense for the farmer. But I think they're very satisfied in the fact that a lot of attention is being given them. There's an understanding of their plight. and they're trying to get them on the same playing field as the major crops, as corn, soybeans, and wheat, in terms of the ability to protect themselves.
I realize you don't represent a whole lot of fruit growers, given where the part of the state that you represent, but it's a relevant question, it seems
Absolutely.
To me. Back to Justin Rumenap. With regard to your role at the Center for Civil Justice in Flint, are you paying attention to the debate over raising the minimum wage here in Michigan and at the federal level?
That's a little bit outside of my area expertise, but we certainly have been keeping an eye on that. As I mentioned before, as the unemployment rates and the food insecurity rates are not unrelated, but I'm not sure if there's a specific question you wanted to ask, if I'll be able to answer it.
Okay, well, it just crosses my mind that a number of the people that you work for would benefit from a raise in the minimum wage, that's all.
Absolutely. I believe a raise in the minimum wage would help decrease the food insecurity rates in the state and nationwide.
Would it compensate, though, for the cuts in the SNAP program and food stamps?
I guess that would depend on the specific how high the minimum rate the rate would be. I'm not sure I have that data at this time. I guess it would just depend on how high the minimum wage would be raised.
How will the people you work for adjust to this change? How much of a transition will this be?
Yeah, as I mentioned before, a lot of them, for those of you who are seeing up to the $90 per month, that's a week worth of groceries, are probably going to have to rely more on the food banks, the food bank networks, food pantries, and churches. And those, some of the other food advocates in the area I've spoken to are kind of worried about being able to meet that demand, because the demand has already kind of risen with the cuts we talked about a little earlier in November. So it's going to be a tough time. It's going to be a tough winter, and I'm hoping that the food pantries can help meet the need for that. We're also hoping that the Department of Human Services, once the new rules take effect, will perhaps be able to adjust their calculation of the food stamp rates to help mitigate some of the damage, some of the loss that some of these households might see.
Did the two-year delay hurt this two-year wait for another farm bill? Was there a price to pay there for the farmers you represent? Was there much impact just in the delay?
Well, it was mostly just simple frustration in terms of the inability of our government to function and create a new farm bill. They did extend the old farm bill, so
okay,
we continue to operate under those rules. But, you know, generally speaking, no matter how dysfunctional Congress is, they usually can come together on a farm bill, but that certainly wasn't the case this go-around.
Well, there is no other piece of federal legislation that is quite like the farm bill. That's what we've been talking about with our two guests. Alan Garner, District 5 Director of the Michigan Farm Bureau. Justin Rumenap, spokesman with the Center for Civil Justice in Flint. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.